Today we start a new series, and it's called Friendship. Yeah, look at that. Friendship, the gift of companionship. Yay, that took me 5 hours to think of what the title should be, but basically it's a friendship, okay? Friendship, hey, those little wooden guys are from my office. Aren't they so cute? Yeah, those are my friends. Anyways, all right. I thought we really need to tackle this, I think, this summer. I believe God wants to, I gotta say this carefully, I don't think God is trying to fix friendships. I don't know if God is trying to make us, maybe the friendliest church in town or whatnot. I think God is trying to, with this series, highlight something that we may be wanting to ignore or put aside and use most of our life to get distracted from this deep, deep longing in all of us for friendship. And I believe that as cute and as inviting as this series looks, I believe this is maybe one of the more important series that we're going to do really in a while in terms of how we're going to position our hearts and our minds moving forward as the people of God. Does this make sense to you? So let's pray. Father God, I invite you. I choose and want to believe today, the Holy Spirit, that this is you, you're leading, that this is your church, and that you care for us, and that somehow through the preaching of your word, God, that you will not just want to help us fix things, but help us hold things in your presence, so as to not avoid them any longer. Come and make us whole, not just better, not just more efficient, not just happier, but make us whole. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I rarely do this, but because I think I'm funny myself, but there's a joke that one of my favorite comedians, John Mulaney, I think you guys know some of you guys know this guy, John Mulaney, he was doing his monologue for Saturday Night Live, and he says, he mentions something about friendship that I really think is relevant to us today. And so in his opening monologue on Saturday Night Live, he says something funny, but something very true. And he says it obviously much, much funnier. Actually, you should never say someone else's joke because it always ends up a bomb when you say it. I just want you to know that. So I don't want you to laugh. I want you to just get hit by the truth, okay? But laugh if you love me, okay? He says, it's hard to make friends when you're an adult male. Now I would actually say adult male and female. It's hard to make friends when you're adult male. I think that's the miracle of Jesus. Truly, he was a 33-year-old man, and he had 12 best friends. They were not his wife's friends. They were not his wife's friends' husbands. He didn't meet them a long time ago at school. He met them in his 30s. 12 best friends. Remember when your dad went fishing once? He, Jesus, and his friends went fishing every day. That's pretty funny. But it's funny because it's true. The miracle, and he's joking around, but the miracle of Jesus, it's not just that he healed sick people and did all this crazy stuff. The miracle is this brother in his 30s somehow managed not only to have friends, but to make friends and to cultivate it. And then obviously his friends changes the world. And it's through their friendship Man, that friendship was the source of their zeal and their passion for God. And they changed the world. But the miracle is that he had friends. And so I want to address the elephant in the room. And I want to say that we are lonely. I don't care if you're at the most happening church in town. I don't care if you're at the smallest, biggest, the most relevant, irrelevant. I don't care where you are at. If you are next to human beings, you are next to someone experiencing deep loneliness, especially in our time. While I was doing this study, I was shocked to find out that in England, in Britain, did you know that they now have in their government, a minister for loneliness? That the prime minister appointed an actual cabinet, a department that addresses the national epidemic, a health crisis, not just a mental one, but a physical, biological, emotional, come on somebody, a spiritual. It is ruining a nation so much that it's impacting their economy, their family networks, hello, so much so that the government has now appointed a minister for loneliness. Can you imagine if that was your job? What do you do for a living? I'm the minister of loneliness. I address the epidemic of loneliness in our culture. And the truth is, we need one as well in this nation. Hello? They say that the feeling of loneliness in our culture has doubled since 2012 to now. And every year, that more technology that is set up for connection expands or is introduced into our society, the level of loneliness increases at the same time. So the more connected we feel like we are getting, the more lonely we feel. My daughter, who is a teenager, okay, full-blown teen, she's 15. I mean, she is a teenager with a black belt. She is a black belt teenager. She tells me one day, I go, hey, I'm thinking, trying to give credit to myself. Hey, why you not have social media? You're a good girl because you have a good dad. She goes, no, dad, that's not why I don't have a social media. I don't have social media because all my friends who have it, they deal with depression and loneliness. So I figured I probably should not have one. I go, you are a stronger person than I. Because I need that. It's my drug, right? But it's not completely true because she created an Instagram for her dog. So I'm like, that's still cheating. But in any case, our depression, there's now there's a term in Japan. I think it's kodu kusi. It's the Japanese phenomenon of people dying because they're dying alone. They're so lonely that they're dying alone. There's an actual, the nation has a term now for this. And then the former U.S. Surgeon General says in America that basically loneliness now is more dangerous than 15 cigarettes smoked a day. Your sense of loneliness impacts you more than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Your lifespan shrinks as you experience loneliness. That's why we are doing this series on friendship. But before we get into how to become a good friend, how to look for a good friend, you know, how to be the kind of friend that you want in your life. Before we get into all those practicals, we got to set a foundation today on why we're experiencing such loneliness in the first place. Does this make sense to you? So what is loneliness? Well, one of the definitions from the mental health profession, and I'm not saying this is the definition, but this is one of it that helps us understand it. The definition of loneliness is that there's a gap between the level of connectedness that you want and the level of connectedness that you have. So there's a longing. Man, I want to feel connected, but I'm not quite getting it. So that gap between desire and the desire being met, that gap is where we experience the loneliness. So why does God create friendships? Yes, friendship is a remedy, is God's gift to us. But before we get into that, I want to address the fact that God created relationships and friendships first because it is first in and of itself godly. Okay, and the reason why I want to paint this picture first is because some of you, I would say maybe 0.1% of us here might feel like I am not that lonely. Which I will say to you, you're lonely. Okay? But some of you might feel like, I don't really need to address this. I'm too busy. I'm changing diapers. I have issues at work. I have financial crises. I have all these things that are happening to me as an adult. TB, do I really? I mean, this seems like a first world problem. This is a luxury to deal with this emotional need for connection. No. It's not just something we need to work on because we're trying to fix or trying to minimize this gap from desire to satisfaction. I want you to know that it is biblical to cultivate, invest in friendship, period. Okay? And I get this from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Why? Why create in the first place? Why create something that he can relate to? Was God lonely? Was God needing a friend? What we find in Genesis chapter 1 is that friendship is the holy task of a holy people. Because a holy God, out of his desire, out of his goodness, not out of his need, out of the overflow of his heart, his loving relationship within himself, within the Trinity community, come on somebody, he releases or births humankind that he can relate to. So before we make loneliness and friendship some kind of remedy, which we will, to deal with this isolation and this problem of loneliness, I want you to first and foremost get it in your heart that whether you're experiencing loneliness or not, if you are a follower of God, you must be about friendship. Because in his heart, before everything went bad, he goes, this is a good idea. And the good idea is that my creation has a relationship that I have. Not just domineering, not just dominance and production, not just creation and cultivating. I want creatures that understand and enjoy the beauty of this dialogue called relationships. So first and foremost, get it in your heart. You have any relationship in your life? Do you have any relationship in your life? Do you have any relationship in your life? Yeah. Marriage, friends, co-workers, bosses, people that you manage, any relationship, let me say it this to you right now, despite how it feels, it is God's good idea. Amen. He gave you that so you can be like him.
The problem is they're often the source of problems, right? These people. But then something goes really bad. As you know, in Genesis 2, the Lord said something that he's never said before in the making of the world. He says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Okay? Watch this. So he's like, "I'm going to make man, I'm going to make him relate to me." Relationships and interrelationships, it's important, it's godly, it's holy. Then he looks at his creation, and throughout Genesis, you know, everything, he's self-critiquing, everything he creates, he's like, "That's good, I made that, that's really good. Hey, I made that, beautiful. I made this, absolutely," right? And he's just loving all his art, all of his creation. And for the first time in the book of creation, in the book of Genesis, he's self-critiquing and he says, "Ooh, something is incomplete. Something is off. Something is not quite right. Before you make this about marriage or about, oh, I need to find a lifelong partner, I want you to understand that there is a key for us to understand here when we dig into the actual word alone. The word alone up there that you see in Hebrew, it doesn't just mean, oh, I don't like it that he's alone, that he's by himself, or that he doesn't have many friends. The word alone in Hebrew actually means isolated. The Lord looked at creation and he said, what? "I don't like that this man is isolated. Something is wrong when you are isolated." Now, we all know solitude and aloneness is many times needed and good for us. This is not what God's talking about. He's talking about an absence of a friend. He's talking about you being completely alone. He said, "That's not good. That's not good." So then he creates a helper. He creates a friend, a partner. By the way, before I move on, all of you that are thinking about, all of you that are married, that are thinking about this series as just friendship, I also need you to turn it and make it also about your spouse. You know that they say that your friend, that the evidence of your relationship maturing is that your partner becomes your best friend. It moves from romantic to friendship. And so really, the gift of God and the remedy to this isolation is friendship. Look at your spouse next to you and say, "You want to be my friend? You want to be my friend? So why are we so lonely? Why are we lonely when God created friends? Why are we so lonely when we have this beautiful creation, this God who recognized that we were isolated and he did something about it? Why? Because when we talk about friendship and loneliness, we cannot just talk about the fact that our level of connectedness feels low. We have to talk about, as Christians, not just the connectedness issue, but the human condition issue. Even after a good creation like this, something goes wrong. And it points to the human condition that we're in since this beautiful garden was created. Scripture says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." What we find right now
If any one of you said to me in the beginning of the sermon, PB, you're talking to me, I am lonely, or I experience it, or I can feel that gnawing sense of loneliness, and I do everything in my power to distract myself from it. Right? If you're like, this message is for me, what you have to realize is that this condition that we're in it because of the human condition called sin. Ever since we introduced rebellion and sin into that garden, there has been a chasm. There has been a separation that's created that nobody can heal. So the first statement, the truth statement I want to make to you is that your biggest issue when it comes to friendship is not friends. It's you. Your biggest dissatisfaction in marriage, it's not your spouse, it's you. Your sense of deep loneliness, especially during the pandemic, where you sat there in front of your laptop going, is this life? Is this really all of my life? I want to kill myself. You're like, oh my God, this is so boring, lonely, disconnected, isolated. When you are feeling that way, it's not just because your friends are not good friends or not good at being friends for you. It's the condition that we find ourselves in. There is a huge hole in our heart. Ever since sin was introduced, there's a huge hole. What else does this craving, I'm quoting Pascal, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there, the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with the infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. Your biggest problem when it comes to loneliness is not the lack of friends. It's this God-shaped hole. The problem is that we find that it's actually not a hole. The problem is that we find that it's not actually a God-shaped hole. The problem that we find is that all of life is God-shaped. That's the problem. So we come to church, feel my God-shaped hole. Right? And then we feel something, and then we go outside and we're, oh, I'm lonely out here too. I'm lonely over here, I'm lonely over there, I'm lonely at work, I'm lonely at home, I'm lonely with my kids, I'm lonely with my spouse, I'm lonely with my in-laws, I'm lonely with everyone. What is this abyss that I feel, this God-shaped hole? Can you fix this? Can you come in here and settle me and fix me? But we find even those moments of being filled are not completely satisfying because we find it's not a God-shaped hole. My entire life is God-shaped. I need God. I am separated from God. I don't have a hole. I have a chasm. It will be a disservice to you, Echo, if we preached an entire series of friendship and we just talked about the horizontal relationships we have. You must realize that everything we're about to preach in the coming weeks will only find its anchor if it's anchored in this reality that only God can meet our deepest loneliness. Sin leads to separation. For the wages of sin is death. Now, I know you have seen this verse many times, especially you students of the Bible. I want you to catch what I'm about to say, okay? I want you to replace that word death with loneliness. Okay, and I'm going to explain why. For the wages of sin is death. If sin separates, the climax or the culmination of sin is ultimate separation. Does this make sense to you? If sin separated us from God, then death keeps us alone forever. Hello? This is why you and I grieve at funerals, guys. We don't grieve because, oh, they died. No, we grieve because we know they are now alone. And we try to placate. We try to make some sense of it. Oh, this person's in heaven now. This person is walking around in heaven with God. Can I tell you something? As a Christian preacher, they're not. Because to say that they have a life without the resurrection of the body is to say that the cross and the death and the resurrection meant nothing. This is why in Scripture all the dead are longing for the return of God. Why? Not because they want to come out of the grave like zombies and be like, I'm alive. You know why all the dead from every century are longing for Jesus to return? You know why? Because they want to physically resurrect so they can physically be reunited with God. They in death are alone. You see, the great news of the gospel is not just that you are forgiven, but that you are reconnected with God. That your loneliness has been addressed to its core. This is why it's such good news for us. Honestly, think about it, guys. You walk around your school, your work, and if you said to your friends at work, can I just tell you the good news? There's somebody that wants to forgive you of your sins. You know what your friends will say nowadays? What are you talking about? I don't feel bad about that much stuff. And the things that I do feel bad about, I think I can get over, or I can get somebody to, you know, say I'm forgiven. They're not walking around with this weight of sin. You know what they're walking around with? The effects of that sin. And the effects of that sin is deep loneliness. So you want to preach the gospel? You want to make the gospel attractive? Don't go to them and say, hey, there's a God that wants to forgive your sins. Tell them there's a God who has permanently erased the effects of loneliness. You will never be lonely again. There is a promise in Christ that someday we will resurrect out of our solitude, out of our isolation. That to me is good news. I don't care about hell, honestly. What if I was in hell with my best friends? Like, this is a great place. Think about it. What if you and I all went, no, just kidding. What if we went to hell together? I'd be like, yo, Gino, what's up, Gino? We're burning together. What's up, Ricky? Yay! At least we're together. We're commiserating. How many of you guys know commiserating is often very nice, right? No. You know why hell is hell? Hell is hell because you're alone. You're separated. You know why that grave is feared? Because we're alone in that grave. Hence, the resurrection is beautiful because of the reconnection. You see, death, loneliness, and death are the same thing. And just like loneliness, right? Just like death is sobering. Like, you know, when you see somebody who died, you're like, you wake up and you, have you ever been in a funeral and you're like, oh man, I gotta get my life together. Death is real. It's inevitable. It's gonna happen. Until Jesus returns, this is the way it's gonna be. Oh crap. I don't have that much long to live, right? I'm 45 now and you talk about midlife. It's real, guys. I'm like, whoa, I'm gonna die. And my little kids, my twins, all the time. Daddy, you're gonna die someday? I go, yeah, I'm gonna die someday. Death is real. And so just like death is so sobering because it points to that aloneness someday. Loneliness that you feel today is sobering because you still feel that the effects of sin might be at play. That's why loneliness is so scary. It's not because of the loneliness feelings that we just feel, although those are just daunting and haunting, right? I'm not talking about just the feeling of loneliness. You know that you feeling loneliness is really pointing to the effects of sin, which is ultimate loneliness. And this is why loneliness is so scary. So that's what sin does. It separates us. But here's the good news. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Can I get an amen? You see, the thing that we're all longing for is that when God reigns, it's not just that he's conquered sin and death. In doing so, he has completely eradicated any chance of ever feeling isolated again. We will be completely in God. And all that gnawing sense of aloneness will someday be addressed. But sin also separates us from each other. Okay, and I want to get into this today just so that we can all be on the same theological page of what's happened. Sin separates us not only vertically with God, but it separates us horizontally with each other. If you notice in Genesis 2, it says, then after they rebelled, and after sin was introduced, this is what Genesis says. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Sin separates us from God, where we have God in Genesis saying things like, where are you? Okay. Trust me, God was not confused about as to where they were. Okay? He was saying, what happened? But then sin is introduced, and now horizontally, there's a separation. And for the first time, man and woman, they were naked. This is supposed to be a leaf, fig leaves. And try to find fig leaves on Amazon. It's very hard. Okay? So one of my staff members was like, you should wear those skin-colored jumpsuits. No. So for the first time, what's happening here? Let me tell you what's happening. First time ever. Are you ready? Are you ready? Say yeah. Yeah. And here comes loneliness. Are you ready? First time ever, because of sin, we are self-conscious. Sin has brought self-consciousness, self-awareness. And I'm not talking about it in the good way. Some of you guys are like, I was taught at work, I should have self-awareness. Yes, you definitely need self-awareness, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a self-awareness that makes you distant from others. It's a self-awareness that says, oh, I'm actually naked. I'm actually vulnerable. Maybe I'm not as pure and safe and as good as I thought I was. Now, side note, just for all you Bible students, I do want to say, and this might scare you, but as a pastor, I do want to say, I do not believe human beings were made perfect. I believe human beings were completed, but they were of the dirt, meaning they had a lot of humanity to be seen. But they were not conscious of their humanity, meaning they had nothing to be ashamed of. But sin makes you look at yourself and go, maybe I am broken. I never knew I had all these things. And so we work tirelessly to cover ourselves, cover ourselves, cover ourselves, cover ourselves. And then all your friends and family work tirelessly to cover themselves. And now all of a sudden we look at each other and we don't see each other. We see the work of our hands. Why is it that till this day, even in our kind of society, we say, man, that was the naked truth? Or we say, like, oh, the husband and wife, they finally got intimate and got naked. What are they saying? Is it just a physical thing? No, what they're saying is, I finally let someone see my humanity. But sin makes us question each other. Sin makes us hide. Sin makes us feel vulnerable. In this book, it's funny because for this series, I had to read a lot of books on friendships, and I realized I'm a loner. No, it's okay. I realized that I need to work on friendships. Anyways, there's a book by Shasta Nelson. Her book is called Frentimacy. Isn't that cool? There's a book called Frentimacy. You get it? Friendship and intimacy? Okay, just for some of you that don't get it. She said that there are three things that are needed for a true friendship to blossom. And the three things is that you need to feel seen, you need to feel safe, and you need to feel satisfied. Okay? So every fulfilling relationship, you need to feel seen, safe, and satisfied. And what separation from God and what sin brought in to the relationships of mankind is all of a sudden we don't feel seen. We actually don't want to be seen for who we are. Like, for instance, can I ask you something? When you meet people, okay, at work or wherever you go, where do you go? Wherever you go, do you walk up to people, what's the thing you say for, hey, what's your name? Hi, my name is Chad, right? What's going on, dog? Blah, blah, blah. And you shake hands. And then what's the first thing you say? What do you do? What is the thing that makes you feel very protected? Right? What you do, man? So you go, I'm this, right? Imagine, why don't we ever meet someone and go, hey, what are your scars? Hey, what is the thing you're most embarrassed about in life? Why don't we do that? If we really want to get to know people, why don't we do that? We do this because we also go, hey, don't want to share that myself either. Hey, don't want you to know that about me either, right? So we stay in the level of leaves. Because sin makes us suspicious of our worth. So we suffer alone. And then sin, I hope you guys catch this. Sin, I'm going to say it again because it's so good. Sin makes us suspicious of our worth. So it makes us suffer alone. When I was dealing with my, by now you guys all know about my depression, right? If you're new and you're just hearing that your pastor or this church pastor has severe depression, God bless you, okay? But there's a podcast that Heidi and I did, which is probably one of the most listened to podcasts, right? And I'm always like, it's because I shared about my depression, right? When I was dealing with my depression, it was like a couple years ago, right when our sabbatical was about to happen, I felt so much shame. And I felt so alone. Because I thought, who would want to still know me or love me? Or, as a matter of fact, who would want to be pastored by me? When I preach the gospel of hope, but I struggle with deep human depression. So shame starts covering you. Nobody wants to see me. I don't want anyone to see me. And then what do? And then I suffered absolutely alone. Until I talked to my friends. until I talk to my friends, I talk to my staff, I talk to my pastors at this church, I talk to my board. And then I just started sharing what I thought was my shame. And so I started uncovering that this is what I really am. But guess what? I feel more trust, gratitude, and love for those people than I have ever had in my life. What it did was, God allowed me to have these fig leaves, and he allowed me to transform them into bridges. And every time now, because of the cross, I don't feel shame anymore, and I share. I invite friends to a place of intimacy on the very thing that was used to separate me from others. That was really good, wasn't it? Isn't it really good? I just want you to know I practiced this. I practiced this at home. Sin makes us also not just suspicious, but it makes us selfish. And selfishness makes us survive alone. So sin makes us full of shame. And then sin makes us selfish because we're like, I have to do this on my own. I have to survive on my own. I'm going to have to make it on my own. I can't show any of my humanity to anyone. We're almost done, okay? I only did 30 minutes. So we're good. I have like 30 more minutes. So here's the good news. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us isolated people or sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still separated from God. Nobody wanted to play with us. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation, which is always exile. He will save us from isolation. Man, I hope you get this. Verse 10, for since our friendship with God was restored by death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Hello? Before we get into the entire series, the first line of business for us as Christians is to celebrate the friendship we have in God. This great isolation has been permanently dealt with. And your walk in God is a walk of faith that you now know I am no longer separated. And to live by faith is not to always feel connected, but is to know you're connected. It's not always longing to feel loved, but is to believe that in Christ I have a friend who loves me. And out of that power and truth, we now can stop wasting so much energy on this and crafting this, and we can use it. By the way, you have a lot of these. You can use it to keep doing this. You can use it to now do this. You can use it to now do this. Which is way better use of this. Can I say it another way? Because of what Jesus did, you're free now to be vulnerable, which is the start of every satisfying relationship. Vulnerability. Before I close, someday we're going to have Ecclesia again. You guys remember Ecclesia? You guys are like, what is Ecclesia? Ecclesia was our small groups. You remember that? Our home groups. Some of you guys are like, really? We had those? We had those. Do you know that when we start home groups again, it cannot be a place where we do this. It has to be a place where you do this. Come on, let's share. Because there's now no more condemnation. Ecclesia should be the place you bring your friends from your world, and your friend from your world should go like this. What the heck is going on in here? Brian, you told me this was a church. Churches are usually really good at this. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Why is everyone here naked? Don't be naked. Why is everyone here naked? Why? And why are they always asking questions that make you feel naked? And then you go, what? Because it's safe here, dude. Because we have been reconnected with God. There is now no more condemnation. And they go, oh my God. They should experience freedom. And even if though they have so many friends back home or at work, deep in their heart at work in their ugly cubicle, they should be typing away going, I don't know these people at Echo Ecclesia, but that was the first time in years that I have been myself and felt absolutely loved, even though I got naked and showed my brokenness. Come on! Don't you want to go to home group now? I don't know when it's happening, but Pastor Isaac knows. Pastor Isaac knows when to start. This is going to happen, though. We're going to do it again. But please don't make it a place where you bring this like this. Just don't even go. Okay? All right. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Okay? Here's my invitation. I want you in this series to accept the restoration that was given to you by Jesus Christ. Every time you attempt to practice all that we're going to teach in the upcoming series, I want you to do it not because you need more friends or you want that satisfaction gap to be closed, but because you're so grateful that He restored you to God the Father. I don't want you to do it out of need. I want you to do it out of faith. And then I want you to rejoice. Some of you guys, as you practice what we're about to preach in the next few weeks, you'll be frustrated. You might not be welcomed. You might not receive or have things given back to you the way you've given. It's okay. This is practice time. But every time you practice friendship in Christ, I want you to rejoice. Be grateful that God is your friend. Amen. And finally, I want you to spend the next, what is this? I think we have like 7 weeks left. I want you to spend the next 7 weeks cultivating intentionally relationships God has put in front of you. I'm not talking about just your childhood friends. I'm talking about friends at work. I'm talking about friends that you commute with. I'm talking about people even outside this church. I know as a pastor, I'm supposed to be promoting friendships within here, right? And I do. I want you to be friends here, of course. I want you to practice. Many of you guys don't even know each other. But I feel like this series, the Lord wants it to be a more of a missionary series. A missional one, as in
Go give this to people. There's people at work that live buried under this, guys. All you have to do is sit next to them and go, let's go out. And then I want you guys, I'm going to ask a big favor of you. I want you guys to give me your trust. I know that's a big ask. I want you guys to give me your trust in this series, not because I'm a pastor, because you think, oh, well, has PB mastered friendship? No, I'm far from it, okay? But I want you to give me your trust in this series because I actually relate to you really well. Let me read you something. They say that 50% of pastors who started this year would not make it past 2027. That's 5 years. What if I told you went into a career and I said, you're going to last 5 years? They say that 70% of pastors experience loneliness and have no close friends they trust with personal matters. 70%. 70% of people in my field don't trust people. And then 70% have a lower self-image now than when they first joined the ministry. I laugh because I just think ministry kills people, okay? 70% have a lower self-image now than when they first joined the ministry. Why am I saying that? I'm not saying this so you can pity me, okay? I'm not saying this. Don't write me cards this week going like, you are not alone, PB. No, I appreciate that. But this is not what I'm saying. I'm saying it so you will know that I am there with you. I am not up here as somebody who's not experiencing this. I'm up here to say I have gone to the depth of this. And I now know I don't have a God-shaped hole. I am God-shaped. And my plea to you is join me in becoming friends of God. Join me in returning to God. Join me in saying you alone satisfy. And don't look at your loneliness as a problem to be fixed. Look at it now as a holy invitation from God. That God has allowed that trace, that lace of loneliness in you, not to punish you, but to call you, to alert you, to awaken you. Your pain is a gift from God. Your deep loneliness is a gift from God. It's not something to push away. This week, when you feel it again, I want you to enter it, embrace it, and go, you alone, you alone, you alone, you alone satisfy. And I've done so much in life to ignore this, but I come to you now, you alone, you alone, you alone satisfy. Your loneliness is an invitation from God. Amen? Let's pray. Guys, okay? It's not going to be an easy one, huh? The rest of the series will be fun, I promise. This is going to be good stuff, okay? But right now, I want you guys to just be honest with yourself, man. Lord, I'm so tired of these leaves. I'm so tired of constructing these things. Lord, I don't even have people I can share my deepest, darkest things. I don't want to be naked in front of anyone. But at the same time, I feel cursed with this loneliness. What do I do?
So go ahead and pray right now. I just want you to invite God. Will you use this, Lord? Some of us, we're so good at distracting ourselves. I mean, you have something lined up every day. And of course now, media doesn't help because we have something to watch every minute. We medicate ourselves, numb ourselves, so we can avoid this pain. But I'm telling you, this pain is a gift from God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to release you. But I actually want to pray for some of you today. If you're not afraid to come up and get prayed for, maybe I'll have to get a mask. But do we have a mask? Maybe I need a mask so you don't feel too scared. But you're like, PB, I need to get prayed for. Not because there's something wrong with you, but you're deep in your heart, you're just, I think I miss God. I think during the pandemic, I got mad at God and I separated, or I got bored with God and I separated, or I got offended by friends at church and I separated. Whatever it is, you're feeling the separation. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. The pastors here want to pray with you. The intercessors here want to pray with you. Not to fix you, but to help you invite God. Okay? So if that's you, just come up forward. I'm going to pray for you, okay? After I bless you. Father God, I thank you for our church. I thank you, God, that we got to be here together, commune together, worship together. But we also got to be here to acknowledge this ache in us together. It's a holy ache, Lord. This is why we're here. You are the one we want. So come, Lord, be with us this entire series. Help us to become the friends that we want in our lives. I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen.